Bowie knives.
It's a double circular link list. The pointer for each node goes inside the object. So you actually have a structure you have to embed in your object if you want to put it in a linked list.
So it's a little different than you're used to, where you have a linked list of structures with pointers that point to the objects that you actually care about. In the kernel, we don't do that.
This is how we do it. So this is how you add that foo object, that foo structure to the list. Okay. The head goes last. So it's new is the first argument. Head is the last argument. I always get that wrong. But because they're both equivalent types, you switch them around. And then you end up with your list on your structure. It's on your structure on your list. In this case, list was the name of the... If we go back a couple... Yeah, we called it member list. So that's why we go list for each entry, I, comma...
By the way, my pet peeve is when people call that list, by the way.
You can be in multiple lists, you can be in multiple entries.
That's I hate when people call it list.
If it's the same type,
what would you call it?
Using the macro. And it's because this macro both declares it and initializes it.
Yeah.
And you would say, oh, well, we're not initializing list head. This is what I asked Rusty yesterday. He said you could do list add without initializing it.
List add
is kind of obvious.
I mean, it's assuming that it isn't already in the list. Yeah. You have to list del explicitly first. Yep.
So isn't it bad to have a static list if you're going to have multiple devices supported?
No. Yeah, this is really cool. Okay. So, you've all finished. Good. This is what it looks like. Ooh. Yeah. This is what it looks like. You add a struct list head cards. It can be a stupid name because it's static, so it's not going to be accessible to others. We implement find card, which list for each entry return I, and it's only going to do the first one, right?
Do this. One is to add system calls. Well, we're not doing that, and besides, modules can't add system calls in Linux 2.6. And the Unix way to do this anyway, if it's a device, is to make a device file, dev file, /dev/lr3k. And you'd open it, you'd write in some crap, and then you'd read back the answer.
Okay.
So, device files are things that abstract device character at a time. You read one, then you read again, and you keep reading as long as you want until you get into file. This is different, you can contrast this with a block device, which you can seek. That's pretty much the fundamental difference. They end up being a bit more different because they have two different ways of writing them. We're going to look at the character device way. But the basic abstraction, what you'd ask yourself if you're writing a drive. And then you need a pointer to a structure that sets up how all the operations you could possibly do on this file are handled. Open, close, read, write, blah, blah, blah. So you need these three things. Then you call register char dev. And you're like, hey, here's my major. Or you could pass zero, and it can assign you a major. You give it your name, like LR3K. And you pops, which apparently you find somewhere else. And we check for error, obvious, simple. And that's all you have to do to set up a char device. Of course, the hard part, here's how you unregister. Pass in the major and the name, it kills it. Hard part is the file operations table. Not only do you have to fill it out, but you got to write all these functions that handle your system calls. There's read, write, open, close. There's also,
You're doing wonderfully.
Okay.
Can you speak some fast, a bit faster? I think it's people falling asleep.
All right. So what happens when you do an open? Well, the open system call, which is defined in fs/open.c as sys_open, is called by the system call handler. It does some crap, and then came out like something inside the structure. And we mem set it to zero. And then you see where we do file private data equals f.
This is the moral equivalent of the PCI set driv data thing, except this is just open coded.
It hasn't been abstracted to hell by an anal retentive. Just kidding. Yeah. I think Greg... I'm just kidding. My good friend Greg H. wrote it.
You were wrong.
Aaron O. would be. You know him. So here's release. Why is it called release and not close? Because it doesn't necessarily get called in every close. If you fdupe the file descriptor or it's somehow shared, the release function is only called on the final close. A free... stuff and return zero. No big deal. So what we're going to ask of you is to create a character device. That would have been easy. Register a module in it. That would have been easy. Unregister a module exit. Even easier. And to write open, which would just use find card to return the card, since that would always succeed.
You're just basically looking proc devices.
Yeah.
And you see the major assigned.
So the only reason we could do this magic chardev thing now is because of things like UDEV.
So UDEV will look that up and figure out, okay, that I need to create this dev LR3K.
The idea in the future is to never let anyone request their major. Always allocate it dynamically because it doesn't matter.
Like, you need the PCI dev.
Oh, yes.
Inside LR3K when you go to close it. So you need that to actually free up the...
In page out page.
You need the PCI dev. But when you call close, you've only got this. And as currently stands, this doesn't have a reference to the PCI dev. We didn't need one before, actually.
Yeah.
Before you actually go to try to write something.
Just like before we had probe, we did stuff in module init. We're just doing it wherever's easiest. So now we're going to do it in open. And if we got really crafty, we would do it even later, you know, delay it to the very last second. We're just trying to get crafty. So, okay. Copying, do you want to do this one?
No? That. He's just basically giving you. It could give you... I could steal his data by giving you a pointer into his. Okay. So...
Kernel could do anything.
Right? There are special functions called copy to user and copy from user that are just like memcopy, except they use current, and they basically only let you copy stuff to or from things that that process would have had permission to copy, i.e. into it. Oh, God. Must be drawn off this of death. The return value is not minus e fault if it fails. The return value is the number of bytes it did not copy. What's that you're saying? Yeah. So if that means it's zero on success, yes.
Is you could think it returns e fault, and this is the last line in your system call. So you just do return copy to from user, thinking it returns zero on success, e fault on failure, and that's a cool little optimization. But you actually return 40, and half of the user's buffer is filled with who knows what.
Under what circumstances would you not actually copy the data?
That's what I...
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Another brilliant. It's a signed in.
Yeah. It's a signed in return. Return, right? Which makes it look like all those things that return.
Why doesn't
it
return size T?
Oh, fuck. Knows. Dang it. Let's not do that. Let's not go there. No, no, no.
Linus, he's going to have a reason.
Okay, so stupid. Who wrote this slide?
What's wrong with it? Because somewhere in between that and when you actually access it, it could get paged out. And the kernel can't handle its own pages, its own page faults.
What are you on?
What?
Get two read pages. You flipped the thing.
It's right, though, other than the name.
Fix the driver.
So,
where is it crashing?
It's actually returning you busy. Rip out all the locking.
Yeah. You plant the sides to be page sides. So if you drive upwards?
I clamp the sides to be page sides. No, that was simply because when I allocated the buffers, I made them page size. This is the topic we wanted to rush through to get to. This is... What is the hardest thing we did today?
Fixing the bug that you're working.
Fixing the bug that
you're
okay. We've seen before, interrupt handlers can interrupt and play with data while a process is poking out. Okay? So not even got SMP, because QMP doesn't emulate. Other CPUs... could be doing. An interrupt handler on another CPU, a processor on another CPU, right? Anything that's global or anything that's static, 9, adds 1 to register 9, puts it back in register 9, that's the second line. The last one stores register 9 back in where register 3 puts. Is everyone okay with that? That's process the only adds we're going to do. That's it. Yeah. So this one statement I++ that you don't think about writing becomes 3 ASM instructions. And here we hit the problem. It will not happen to you as a developer. It will happen to some guy in Slovenia.
Who's a total dick about you not fixing the bug.
That's right. Who does not speak English very well. Who has hardware you don't have. Either it's too old, or it's too exotic. It's why he seems buggy. And it finishes what it was doing. Once again, we've added 2, we've ended up with 1 grade.
Exactly the same symptoms.
If you take that to its worst situation with SMP2
this is the other CPU race. Two pieces of code, they can be interrupt handlers, they can one of interrupts can interrupt user context, traps can go to the user context, hardware interrupts can interrupt software interrupts, and they can interrupt user context, all those things. You can actually have multiple interrupts in the mode. CPU 1, same thing. So basically you have to worry about the people above you. All interrupts from coming in. Okay? So that way you could local IP disable, do your stuff, and then let and know that no one's going to interrupt you. Right? Same argument that says your interrupt handler has to be fast says you better be damn fast while you're disabling interrupts. It's the same problem. Okay. There's also a save and restore. If you don't know whether you've got, so they don't miss. So the second one's safer. Local BH disable, those soft interrupts I talked about, that solves them. And preempt disable stops anyone else from the scheduler from ditching you off and putting someone else in. So you've got three tools at this point to handle races on this CPU. So I haven't had to have two variants. Here's the...
The other CPU is doing whatever the hell it wants.
Okay, so here is an implementation of I++. We do an interrupt handler, and it doesn't care. It doesn't have to worry about anyone else accessing I. It would have to worry about the interrupt handler, but it's just us, so we don't care. And my friend does local IP. It comes back after all this. Yeah, okay, we're done. Good. Yeah, everyone checked in. Yeah, it's good. It's basically everyone checks into this interrupt disable hotel.
Yeah.
They put one variable, and they all check out again. It just... So we got rid of it.
512 CPUs, that's a good idea.
Exactly. It was slow. To protect data from other CPUs, we need a lock. A lock is a local thing that you grab. You actually use, see that define spin lock, like define list? It actually declares it and initializes your spin lock for you. And then you have a spin lock function. It can't fail. It's going to spin forever if it doesn't get it. You add a point to the lock, and you have a spin unlock. Very, very simple. They don't nest. Spin lock, you'll spin waiting for yourself to release it, which you're not going to do. Kernel stop.
Before you grab the lock, otherwise and the interrupt can grab the lock and you'll deadlock.
Yeah.
So it's more than just convenience.
So here's our interrupt safe version. This is actually safe. We define an int I, which we had before. We say define spin lock I lock. You should remember locks protect data, not code. So the lock is usually named after the data it protects.
Even if it ends up in an interrupt, kind of
try to lock twice.
Most of the important locks in the kernel are not, you know, have nothing to do with device drivers and they've never touched an interrupt.
Yep.
So we don't use the IRQ function.
Yep. So, and here we do spin lock IRQ because I know in this case my function doesn't have any of the size this week is more important.
So, how does that change with
Kingo's real time? I'm not going there.
Oh, actually, yes, they are.
Yeah,
so in his, just one sentence answer, his patch basically makes all of these things devolve into the process case because he gets rid of, he makes everything run as a
process. He moves everything down to a thread, like a process basically.
So there's no more stack.
And, wow. So if it ever goes in, all this is all that. Yes, that was if config preempt is equal Y, that was true, otherwise it's false. Okay. So basically your checklist when you're looking through, you look at each, you allocate something, and then finally we put it in the priv data, you know, the PCI set driv data thing. Up to that point, no one else can reach it, so we don't have to worry about any kind of locking issues. Okay. So his mission was to try to figure out, look through the drive and figure out what needs a lock. And we figured that was going to take you about 6 hours.
Technically, you would want a lock around protecting the hardware, around all the things we do with registers, or at least disable preemption.
So, look here. This is the first patch. Looks something like this. We define a spin lock. Okay. There's a worse race. And the race is... If somebody has it open, they're talking to the device, and the PCI remove function gets called, device go away.
You can remove that, a lot of stuff, including a lock, because we like locks. I haven't shown you that, but
let's go back to Sirius. Is it changed? Nope. 12.
Before I go into the whole removing race thing, the very simple one-line function. So we grab it and release it there. We initialize the lock when we do a, the KMA lock. Later on, spin lock init. So the top one has two unlocks. It doesn't actually say that's necessary, that you can't read those while you're writing those, but in practice, lock the registers on the card. They get very confused very easily because they're all crap, especially ours. So
they'll get confused across the PCI bus as well, right? What the PCI says should happen.
Yeah. Okay, so like that. Isn't that horrible?
Isn't that
horrible? It will. Diff mode, fix it up. Okay. Yep. Question?
Isn't that spinnable forever on there if the other
CPU's
already got the lock?
Isn't it spinnable if the other CPU's already got the lock?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then I finally do wait queues.
Wouldn't it be easier to do two?
Wouldn't it be easy? Yeah.
When you find with this stuff, it's really easy to think about it, and when you actually try and do it, it's really hard, really fast, and things get wrong.
We actually also decided the problem was like multiple people opening turn eBusy. And here, this is actually when they actually close the file, we grab the lock, set in use to false, and drop it again. So at that point, someone else can then open it. Right. The question is it necessary to actually have the lock around that in use flow? We only had one day tutorial, so. We went, yep, one at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of devices enforce this kind of stuff. And go, look, the device fundamentally is single-threaded, yeah, like it is in this case.
Waiting on the open as opposed to waiting on the write.
In this case, it literally erases. If their program screws up, it is not your problem. As long as it doesn't crash the kernel. The fact that they get crap data and they only get half of each. Wouldn't it be reasonable to allow a queue of writes? Yes, but they can do that in user space.
Yeah, it's the same thing why we all hate our jobs.
Yeah. I think if you can get away with one big global lock for everything, more power to you.
There used to be a day when we would never had to do one of the things we had to do in here.
You go back to like the 1.3 days with big kernel lock and stuff.
1.2. So, gotta care about this crap, unfortunately.
Okay. Are you at the end of that?
Guys, you had spin locks around I++. Are you gonna cover atomic?
No.
I wanted to so bad.
Yeah, he wanted to do atomics, right? There are also atomic operations you can do for I++ gate
in the middle.
Are there any other questions on this before we cover briefly kernel politics?
this is where the talk gets lively.
Okay. It's a good one to kind of de-stress on. Okay, cool.
We're going to go interactive again, too.
We're going to go interactive. We have a little interactive thing. I'm just writing these into piles. I agree with them. It's not worth forking the kernel over. Although I came so close.
Also, why won't he take our case string dump?
That's right, the case stood up patch. I mean, he's just got a thing about that. Okay, so. Okay. Cool.
I'm still peddling that patch. I'm working on this thing called iNotify now, and I still have a case
string. Patches. So when you've written your driver for the LR3K thing.
And if any of you submit this to LKML, I will. I mean, that's a good thing. Please submit this.
If all else fails, Andrew Morton is the garbage collector of the Linux kernel. Just throw crap at